Hello and welcome to another episode of the Keeping Up With The Enders podcast. We have me and Max on, as always, and we are joined today by a returning guest, to be fair. We were meant to have a real footballer on.
Come on now.
But we've actually probably got a better footballer on. That's what some of them say in the Christian League. But yeah, so we got Tosh back on, so thanks for coming on, especially at short notice, Tosh. Really appreciate it.
No, it's fine. Good to be back.
I think if we start, as always, we'll have a little check-in, see how we're getting on. Mainly, it's because obviously we didn't have a pod last week. So mainly I want to know how Roger Williams University are getting on. I've been able to sleep thinking about it, Max.
Yeah, we suffered our first loss last time, didn't we? But yeah. We've had three wins and one draw since then. So the train keeps on rolling.
Is it like
in the conference?
Is it like a league?
Oh, God.
Is it like a league?
Yeah, it's, I think I said it last time, it's like non-conference and conference games.
Yeah.
So your conference is your league. Non-conference, you can play anyone. We've got our last non-conference game tomorrow and then the rest of the way till the first week of November. Two games a week is all conference games. So we're first in that. I think we've won 4-1. 4-0-1, actually, because it's a draw, not a loss.
Do you...
Doing quite well.
Do you play other like conferences? Like other areas? Of
yeah. America? Yeah, if we can. We don't, because Division 3 is a bit more local to the region, so like New England and the six states or whatever, and into New York. We played teams around there, but like when I was at Stonehill, which was Division 1, we were playing nationally. So we had a game out in Oregon on the West Coast, played down in Washington, D.C., played Iowa this year. Well, they played Iowa this year, but it's a bigger scale, bigger budget.
Yeah.
And you fly there?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oregon was like a 6-hour flight.
Huh? I said, did you like it? Because it sounds sick.
Yeah, it was great. It's like, it's such a professional environment, what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you're training all week, and then we went on, like, I think we went 2 days early, trained out there at their stadium. It's where Megan Rapinoe went, if you know her. Mm. And Christine Sinclair. Christine Sinclair was probably Canada's best ever female player. Yeah, it's great. Everything's paid for, hotel, food, all day. All the meals every day, everything you do. So that's where I aspire to be at.
Isn't that actually mad, though, when you think about it? Like, the money that goes into, like, with all due respect, college football over there. And then, like, we've got, like, professional women's teams that are, like, seem more amateur than that. That's insane to me, that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, a lot of the schools are, like, funded by the other sports as well. So, like, if you look... There's four major conferences in America called the Power Four. So if you think of American football, if I ask you, Sean, what do you think is like the number one American football school that's pretty famous, or you, Tosh?
I'm trying to think of that one in LA. Is it that one? No. is it Ivy League?
No, it's Alabama, which is...
No.
It's like Usher with the A on his hat and stuff. Yeah. Well, that actually might be Atlanta, but Alabama's the biggest one. They make like hundreds of millions a year. So like they fund from college football. They've got like a 90,000 seat stadium that they fill every week. That's all the Power Four schools. So you're Texas, UCLA, which is the big one out there, Tosh.
Power Four, yeah.
They've all got like 70,000 to 90,000 seat stadiums.
Oh my
God. And they make hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Some of them make nearly a billion. Some of them are like just basically an NFL team. So they fund the rest of the programs. Like women's soccer at Alabama is fully funded. So they can literally go sign whoever they want, whenever they want, and have all this amazing facilities and things like that. So like it's a immensely professional game. We could probably have a podcast just talking about all this stuff, Sean.
Honestly, I'll be honest, Max, this is fascinating to me. I love this.
Yeah. So, like, the budget, like, so at Stonehill, for example, our budget every year was, like, $200,000 for the women's soccer program, which is outrageous when you think about it. That's not even including, like, the money the kids are paying to go to the school. So, like, the school was, like, $70,000 a year to go to. So like we covered like the average was like 50 grand for each kid. So like they're paying 30 afterwards, but then all the travel expenses, uniform, equipment, everything like that's covered. So, you know, there was a document that was leaked a few weeks ago about the salaries for head coaches at all these schools, and Texas A&M, their head coach is on $650,000 a year coaching soccer, women's soccer in college.
Hasn't Bill Belichick gone to a college?
Yeah, he's at UNC, University of North Carolina.
Again, he's not going to be on something small, is he? I know it's different sports, obviously, but...
No, he was on like $20 million a year as a coach at the Patriots, and he's on something similar there.
Why has he done that? Why has he stepped down?
He got let go by the Patriots two years ago now. They weren't doing very well. Brady obviously left. Tom Brady left and then retired a few years later. So he got let go, and then he was... didn't get really get offered the job. He was sort of blacklisted in the NFL, and then he went there instead because there's so much money there. Like, if you look at my WhatsApp photo in our WhatsApp group, Sean, that's UNC Stadium that I'm at. It's like 70,000 people. Went to college. It's crazy.
I've actually just, while you said then about having a whole episode or a whole podcast, I was just thinking, obviously next week it's internationals, and the last international break, we broke the mold a little bit and did a bit of a debate topic. I think we could maybe do a little women's football episode. I mean, that'd be great.
Could they,
because you can obviously bring everything you know about it, and then we can kind of discuss where it is in the UK as well. I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah, interesting as always, Max, genuinely. I'm learning something new every week. Tosh, what about you? How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad. No, can't report to have been at a 70,000-seater stadium in the last week. Oh, actually, nearly. Actually, I was at Goodison, but I wasn't doing anything there. Not Goodison, whatever the new one's called. But nothing really to report, I would say. Nothing interesting anyway. No. Yeah, the Blues were, that was all right on Sunday, wasn't it, Sean?
It was. Well, yeah, the last bit was anyway. Because we'll go on, we'll move into the Premier League chat then, but... Yeah, at half time, I met Tosh downstairs, and I was like, it just felt weird in the ground at half time, didn't it? It was like, it just felt everything was dead quiet and it was dead, and it was just like, I don't know. Obviously, the first half wasn't particularly, wasn't a particularly good showing for us. But yeah, it just felt weird. And then contrast that with an hour later when Jack Grealish like fumbles the ball in and it just went off, and it was just like, it's like the Everton fans must have had two different games there, because now Everton are pasting everywhere about, oh, Goodison was rocking at the weekend. I was like, yeah, but the second half it was. First half was atrocious. But it was an enjoyable game in the end, I think. And part of me was thinking, after our chat at half-time, I was like, these teams are going to be a nightmare, especially when he added 8 minutes on. But I'm glad they stayed anyway. I think Goodison, if I got halfway downstairs and heard that. So I think it's a good kind of segue into the footy, I suppose, because, yeah, we'll probably end up talking a lot about Liverpool here, as we always do. But Everton could do what Liverpool couldn't, which I think is the main thing to talk about here, Max.
Jacob say a couple of weeks ago there that you always beat Crystal Palace?
Yeah, he did, yeah. he was like, one team we know we're going to beat is Crystal Palace. And when I was at the game, I was thinking... I had that thought, and I was like, I just think that's going to come undone here. They just looked so much better than us, and obviously we looked awful. And then
we always seem to come from behind against them as well, like at home. The amount of times in like recent we've been 1-0, well, 2-0 down famously when they stayed up. But
yeah,
I mean, first half the other day, Palace were just fantastic. I thought they were just brilliant. And again, and I know we've obviously won the game, but like we were just way off then. It should have been 4-0, shouldn't it? Like. But I actually seen a couple of the highlights this morning, last night, and how they've not scored 3 or 4 goals is unbelievable.
You almost forget how many chances they had, don't you?
Yeah.
Like it was a joke.
Because in my head, I went home, like, I didn't watch it, and then like, I was thinking to myself, well, they debassed us first half. But, you know, second half, we came out quite well, didn't we? But then, like, but actually, Palace should have scored, like, they had, like, 3 1-on-1s in the second half. And the
when Pickford ran out of goal and he was just like passing it around, and then Mateta, was it Mateta who just put it wide somehow? Like that was just stupid.
But yeah, that just shows what football is. And again, like, there was clearly one coach, one side that was much better coached, which was them. And then it just, they just tired, didn't they? I think, I mean, Alcaraz coming on made a massive difference. He was great. But yeah,
I think that's been a criticism of Moyes recently, hasn't it? That he's leaving the substitutes late.
Yeah.
So fair play to him, bringing him on at the half. Because, like, I think it, like, you'd have to be blind to think that Tierno Barry was going to get us in that game. So, like, yeah, bring a better one, even though it's not particularly the most appealing substitute. I think it worked. So, yeah, so fair play. And then, again, going into the international break, I think just before the last international break, we were sitting fifth, weren't we? We were going in really positive, and I think coming off with a win just before going in is a good thing as well. And hopefully we can get a few players rested, get Branthwaite back, see how Michael Keane is, because obviously we need him back. And, yeah,
we've got some tricky games, haven't we? I think they've got a tough run coming, I think.
But, yeah, is it City first?
Yeah, I think City, then Tottenham, and then someone else. Maybe do play United away at some point in the next three or four as well. So, no, in theory, maybe not as difficult, but we also never beat Man United, so.
Yeah, so it's a big one, really. And then,
hey, the last time Crystal Palace had that long unbeaten run was 1969, and Everton beat them 2-1 that time as well.
Came
from behind.
And went on to win the league.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's going to happen again.
I don't know. I've seen someone say, I think it was in the first half of 69, Everton won the league in 70 anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. Next year, then.
Well, yeah, that was the same season, isn't it? Yeah, got me a bit excited, Tom. I can see it happen.
Speaking of winning leagues, then we'll move on to Liverpool. And I'm genuinely not even coming into this, Max, because, like, with the Derby one, I felt like it was more balanced. It was two of us, two of you. But, like, I'm not going to come on the attack here. I'm just wondering, from, like, a Liverpool point of view, what's happening, really? Because, like, as much as people saw, like, a loss coming, I don't think they saw three coming on the bounce, if you know what I mean. And that's obviously since we've been last on, hasn't it? All three losses since we've last on.
Yeah, talking all that talk and then delivering three losses. It's a weird one because I think from my perspective, there's a little concern. I'm not overly too worried though. I think if you look at Liverpool, it's like, I don't know if you've ever played Football Manager, but when you buy a bunch of players on Football Manager, they don't tend to gel right away. As I found out when I took over Dortmund in 2017, got sacked after 6 weeks. Liverpool are in that boat. Like, they could go into the Man United game playing six new players in the starting 11, and I think that's such a big turnaround from last year. And if you go back to the start of last year, we didn't buy a single player, and so we've gone from having like no change except for the manager to a lot of change. So I'm not really surprised that we're struggling a little bit. It's actually what surprised me most is last season we tend to have a lot of control in games, and that was what his biggest thing was. Honestly, that was like he wanted control. At the first game of the season against Ipswich, he takes off Quanta at half time because he's not winning enough duels. Didn't think we were controlling the game, and then he wins. These games are just crazy, end to end, constantly. And it's no wonder. It's like it's just such high risk, high reward, and you're going to end up having what's happened, which is we lost the game. We should have beat Chelsea, to be honest. We had enough chances in that second half, and Salah's a bit out of form. But it's just not great to watch at the moment. And I think when we had the podcast a few weeks ago, I think we did say that Liverpool haven't been playing great, but they've been winning. And now they haven't been playing great, and they've lost three. Who was it we played two weeks ago?
Palace, wasn't it?
Palace. So they were just excellent, as you said in the first half against you. They were brilliant against those. Galatasaray one was a bit weird. I didn't think it was a penalty, but I'm not too worried about that. I think English teams in general struggle to play in Turkey. It's a tough place to go to play, and I think the way Liverpool at the moment, it was always going to be a tough game. He also didn't play Salah, and he didn't play Wirtz in that one. What my biggest grief, and I think you saw on Twitter, is that again, Liverpool's online Twitter fans are the worst fans in the world. And I don't know what it is, whether it's actually just like bandwagon fans from like the success of the last 10 years, but some of them are calling for like Salah to be dropped, for us to play 4-4-2, like a diamond midfield. Some of them are asking for like Arne Slot to be like to go. It's like it's crazy, utter nonsense. But yeah, I've got Manchester United next after the international break. I think it came at a good time. We needed the break.
Yeah, I think it's so. Not like the transfers, obviously, if you go there first, and you say like bringing the new players in and obviously changing the systems, whatever. But is there a big concern amongst Liverpool fans? Because I've seen like Kerkers, for example, has just been like torn apart by pundits and all sorts all week. Is it more worrying that they actually just don't like he actually doesn't seem to be able to play anymore? Which it's not even like a system thing, is it? It's just the fact the player you thought you'd bought hasn't turned up. And is that the case for Vert as well? Or will he? I mean, obviously, you think of the price of him. He's going to come good, isn't he, at some point?
Yeah.
But, you just wouldn't worry if after not spending any money and winning a league, you've now spent loads, those players just aren't performing. And when is it going to come? At what, is it going to be too late this season for them? No, I'm not saying that now, if you know what I mean. I just mean
in a couple of weeks
down the line, if Arsenal break away, is it too little too late then?
It's interesting you say that, because I think if it was City in first place, I'd be saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
But with it being Arsenal, I still think they will have a few moments this season where they are Arsenal and they bottle it. yeah, you're right. I think Ekitike's been great. Isak's basically just going through pre-season. Viet, I've got no concerns about. I think there's moments where he's brilliant, but he's got to get used to doing all the other stuff. Mainly, he played in a system where he is the flair player and everything goes through him, whereas there's other people around him now. Kerkez is absolutely a worry. I thought he was brilliant last season. He was in Team of the Year, wasn't he? I've joked a few times that he's John Arnarisa. I don't know what he's doing. The one against Palace where like he can literally just boot it out with his right foot, he turns and whacks it out for a throw-in in the 97th minute. It's just baffling. Frimpong's not really had a go of it. Yeah, I know he got injured, but you've also gone from having Trent, who doesn't really defend, with Robertson on the other side, who does, to having now two fullbacks who don't defend. So it's just such a balance issue. So I'm interested in what the lineup is when he comes back against United. I'd like to see Isak playing off the left like he used to for Newcastle, and Ekitike up front. I'd probably drop Vert for now. They need to have more stability in midfield. They need to have Gravenberch, McAllister and Szoboszlai just back in there and just play how they used to play and then figure out everything else. But you've got 2 weeks now to figure it out, really, and figure out a balance, because that's the biggest thing. There's just no balance. And then for Kerkez, what was he, 35 million or something? In today's market, it's not too bad of a loss if he's not the best. He's got time. Actually, one thing I would say as well, though, when Jürgen Klopp bought all those players, like Fabinho, Robertson and stuff, they took like 6 months before they actually got like consistent game time. Whereas all these guys have just been thrown straight in. So,
is there a chance Robertson comes back in? Do you think?
I'd hope so. Like he was coming on for him, and I think he played. He might have started the Palace game, or he started the Galatasaray game, one of them. He started the odd game, but I think he should.
Yeah, I feel like Kerkez almost needs to just come out the limelight a little bit now, doesn't he? He took a battering at the weekend. Not even in the game, just after the game as well. I just want to bring one thing up. I thought it was funny when you say about Isak's having pre-season, because obviously he's missed it. When I was at the game at the weekend, at the Everton game, and half time we're going down the stairs, and some girl turned around to a fella and went, genuinely, seriously, she went, "Did Barry miss pre-season?"
Like,
nah, it's garbage.
Was he on strike?
Not anything he'd miss.
Yeah, I think
he's not fit.
The one thing I watched the Liverpool game and enjoyed it, to be honest. I thought it was a good game, but I think the last 10 minutes, like I was speaking to someone yesterday playing football, and I was playing with a Liverpool fan, I was chatting to him at the end, and he said, like, that last 10 minutes, you just seen like two very unserious teams. It was just, it became like 3-on-2, 4-on-2. And neither of them could play a through pass. It was like, you think of the quality on the pitch, like Liverpool there, And I thought that Vert, he obviously does that thing when he comes on and he does that little flick, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And then he seemed to get worse. He seemed to, like, then his touch seemed to disappear. There's times when his first touch and he was losing it and he's playing simple passes. I don't know. I think there should be a worry about him. I don't know. There's no doubt he's a footballer. Like, you've not to see that, but sorry. I don't know. I just think there's this 100 you said about Kirk as being 35 million. That's not a risk. I think if he, Robertson was 8 million from Hull, he wasn't 120 million from Bayer Leverkusen to come into the team. He should be starting. I know Liverpool have probably got the luxury that they don't need to, but yeah, I don't know. There's just, I've thought that from the start, you know, as an Everton fan, you never want to say anything about Liverpool because obviously pretty much always will come back to bite you. So, like, you don't want to say, oh, they don't look good, because they probably still win the league now, because, as you say, you never trust Arsenal, but it's quite hard to retain a league anyway. You know, not many teams retain the title.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we won the league, the season after, we only just finished in the top four on the last day, thanks to Alisson's header. That was one of the worst title defences you've probably ever seen in Premier League era. I'd be happy if we just win a trophy. I think we will. I think we've, in one of those competitions, we'll still do well. And again, we're only 1 point behind Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not, I think people love to jump on it and go after us, but you're right, whoever you mate, right, like two unserious teams, like, just take the point at that point. If he brought on Endo and we were still going for it, like, usually when he brings on Endo, it's like, oh, shut up shot now. It was just wild. Like, I said to you, it's like, we lost that game last season towards the end of the year, so you would have picked up a point on last season's points total if you just took the tie. But, well, go back to United now and get Amorim sacked.
Yeah, well, I've just been having a little think then about, like, the general Premier League from the weekend. And, like, do you know, like, the way the season started, where I felt like there was, like, shock results everywhere and, like, big teams losing. I feel like we've hit a bit of a plateau, haven't we, where, like, I don't know, results just seem to be going the way they should. Like, other than maybe the Everton game, you got, like, and obviously Liverpool-Chelsea could have gone either way, but, like, Arsenal win, United win, Tottenham win, City win. It just seems to be maybe the status quo. Now, is there anything from the weekend that you noted that you maybe wanted to bring up, any kind of, I don't know, any performances in particular?
I was just going to say, I think it's great. Last time I was on, it was just after Forrest had sacked Nuno. And already the Forrest fans want him out. Like, me Forrest mate wants Ange out already. That's great. Yeah, he's like serious. Like, he was singing Sacked in the Morning last week to him when he did the European game. Did you see Forrest that?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the home. They were at home. So,
On the fan debate, on the overlap fan debate, they had that Norwich fan, Nottingham Forest fan on, and she was saying that Newcastle started singing it, and the Nottingham Forest fans started joining in.
Again, you sort of get away from it, but this was actually their own fans at the home ground were singing it. I thought it was great. So that was my enjoyment. I also really enjoyed, I don't know if you've seen it, whatever his name is, I'm not going to pronounce it, the big German, his penalty. Did you see his penalty?
Valtamada. Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
That was just a great penalty. He did, like, have you seen it, Sean?
Nah.
He did, like, you know, sort of like a stuttery run-up, and the goalie just stood still, and he just put it, like, into the roof of the net. You know, just, like, for, like, side foot as well. It was just a great penalty. Like, yeah. No, I like him. He looks like a good player and a good character.
He does, doesn't he? Like, I think most people, when he signed, were probably thinking he's just going to be another big joke, and he, like, any of them big strikers that come in from Europe are usually rubbish, like a Zig or something like that. And then they've got a player on their hands, which is good.
Someone said
I thought it was great. Sorry, go on, Tosh.
No, I was just going to say on that point. I was listening when I was driving to the Guardian football podcast. I think someone said, I don't think he lost the ball all game. The German. Maybe I misheard that. So don't quote me on it.
I love how the Germans becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Never forget you.
It sounds like you're doing it for him because you want to give him a nickname, but you don't want to get his name wrong, do you?
Never forget.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny when he joined and he had his interview. Newcastle fans at the time were just hating on Liverpool and Isak, and he's like, favourite ground is Anfield, favourite player Steven Gerrard, favourite teammate to play with Florian Fett.
Did you see him said his favourite German footballer was? Did you see that? He said, like, favourite German footballer, like, basically implying ever, so, like, you know, all the players, the German players, four-time World Cup winners, he said, Kai Havertz. So.
He's just a wind-up major, fair play to him.
Yeah. I thought, at the start of the season, I said Bournemouth would really struggle, and they just look so good going forward. Antoine Semenyo is absolutely brilliant.
He'll be
at somebody in the summer. Big sign, probably, because he is so good.
He's a bit like that Iraola's, like Glasner, a bit like what Klopp was like, where, like, how many times, the very famous night at Anfield where Liverpool beat Barcelona with about seven players missing, it actually doesn't matter who's playing for Bournemouth if they've got him. Mm-hmm. And a bit like that, I suspect that Glasner, you know, there's not too many new players playing for Palace there. And you imagine, like, watch that next to a Roy Hodgson performance, it just doesn't matter. Iraola, like, say... I don't even know any of the players are, but every time you watch them, they're just so exciting and just so good to watch. And they, he's brilliant. That's Semenyo. Like, just I agree with you. He's not going to be there next year, unfortunately. But
no.
Even that first goal, he just, I don't know how he scores from that position where he picks the ball up. It's just like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Sosh. All I was going to say was I felt the same about Palace. Like, it might be me, not like. Watching as much footy as like I used to, or a lot of other people do. I feel like that when that Palace team got a red out, I was like, don't know, half these. And then when you're watching them, I'm just like looking up the scoreboard going, like that Kamada. Like I loved him. I thought he was quality.
Great player.
Like he was just, but I've never even, like, never took any notes of him before, but he was boss. And you just think it is these teams now who are, unlike maybe what Liverpool have done, who are going out and picking these, like the system players effectively, aren't they? Like, it doesn't matter if they're not big names, but they're going to deliver, and they're all doing it, which is boss to see, really.
Maybe that's why Kerkez isn't going to work out, because he was such a system player.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
Iraola.
Well, people say that about, like, you know, like signing people from Brentford and Brighton. It's not always the best thing to do, particularly Brentford, because, like, they're just so drilled into a system, and they've got such a great scouting system that they identify people who fit there perfectly, but you take them out, you know. And obviously now you're going to see him Wemo and Wissa, maybe they will be good. But like the people say, there's a bit of a risk doing that because that's what it is, isn't it? It's just like they've just got such. I mean, I think more Brentford, it's more the system, and Brighton, like the whole club. Whereas I think Bournemouth is now just their Iola. Like, he's just same for him. I can't see him not managing someone else next year.
The likes of where do you think he could go?
Everton.
United.
I'm going to be honest. I think I'd lose respect for anyone going for that United job. Like, people are talking about Unai Emery, aren't they? Like, it's like when Graham Potter went to Chelsea, I was made up when it failed. And, like, look at him now, genuinely, when you think where he was when he was at Brighton, he was considered to be, like, best up-and-coming manager in the country or whatever. And now he's, like, in the bin now, like, he can't get a job. I just don't know why you'd go to a club like that. Especially, like, an Emery or, like, Iraola, whose career is, like, reputation's very high. Why would you do that? And just, it's just a career suicide.
Then about Emery, I think Emery's different to Iraola. I agree with you, Iraola. But like Emery, sort of, that feels like a natural thing for Emery to do now.
He's done the big club and it didn't work. Why would you go back to an even worse, like poison chalice, effectively?
But again, he sees that, like, you know, what he's seen at Aston Villa is now he's sort of reached the top of the mountain with Aston Villa. He's not allowed to go any further, is he? Sort of. Yeah. I don't know. I completely agree with you, Sean. Like, why would you ever take that Man United job? Like, it makes no sense. But I'm sort of saying with Emery, he's like, you can tell he's not happy at Villa.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he's there next year. I agree with you, he shouldn't go to United, but it sort of feels like, I also don't think United would go, to be honest. But...
The rumours is Glasner right now as well. Like, I'd feel very sorry for someone like Mark Guehi that he stopped them leaving and he's going to take the United job at first chance. That's so you talk about losing respect for someone.
He's not signed a contract, is he, Glasner? He's like going to, like, and he's not going to sign one. He's just going to leave in the summer.
Yeah. Is he, and just not have a job?
Yeah, well, that's what the rumour's been for a while because he was kicking up. But apparently he never stays anywhere long. But there was talks last week that he's entered talks for a contract. But it's like been his contract was only however many years till the summer, and like a few weeks ago, when I listened to something, he was basically saying, well, he's definitely not going to be signing that. So, but yeah, again, that's the same for him. He's thing is with him though, he could probably fail. He's so highly regarded in places like Germany and things like that. He could probably fail in England and still go back and get a good job there. But
yeah,
he also likes to play three at the back like Ruben Amorim, so could work.
Maybe United wouldn't take him. They don't want to stick with that.
Right, so I think that draws us to a close for our Premier League review. So, Max, are you ready to take us over with the game?
Absolutely. Just in time for the international break, we're going to go back to a top 10 game. Last time out, you took, I think, option B, which was the Netherlands. This time, it's option A, which is going to be Spain. So I want you to name the top 10 Spanish players by appearances in the Premier League. And you are working together, so you can talk openly about what you want to go for.
Yeah. Last time we did this, Tosh, me and Callum, I think the Netherlands was quite tricky, obviously. I think you did that on purpose. But, like, we were throwing names out there, and I think we lost three lives in about five goes. So let's box a bit more clever, yeah?
Yeah. You did well in the end, though.
Yeah.
You missed two players out. You got 8 for 10. Yeah.
I do hate ones like this at times. I hate like just coming up with people like I deal in facts and like things like that. I can't be doing with like trolling your brain.
If we get like a gauge, yeah, like if we need somewhere that's like seventh, just to gauge how many. Like, because like I mean, like David Silva.
David Silva's the first one that came to my head.
He's been number one surely.
Unless there's like
David Silva.
Right, should we go? Yeah, we'll go with that. He's definitely in there. Go on.
David Silva is fourth.
Fourth.
Okay. With 309 appearances.
Okay.
309. I can't now think of any Spanish players.
Well, you've got like Torres, you've got Fabregas.
Fabregas has got to be up there.
Yeah.
Fabregas was playing, wasn't he? He started playing about 2005. He left in 2011 and came back for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You've got to be minimum 250, surely.
I definitely he's got to be in the top 10, surely.
Go on then. We'll go Fabregas.
Fabregas is second, 350. Don't forget he signed for Arsenal. He was like 16, played a long time, and he also came back and played for Chelsea.
I was then thinking, like, I started with a goalie, and I was thinking, like, someone like Pepe Reina have been about long enough now.
Yeah, I know. He played for Villa as well. I know he probably wasn't there that long, but.
He joined Liverpool 2005-ish, 6-ish, because he was in the cup final, wasn't he? So maybe just after he won the European Cup, and he must have left about 11 or 12, so 6-7 years, but probably playing every week.
Yeah.
Maybe put him on the maybe, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I wouldn't maybe go yet. Can I just ask Tosh, can you just stay in the middle of your camera, please?
Oh, come on.
Just
got to write, I'm trying to write down here.
I can't get clips out of when you see your eye.
Let me book up here now.
What about Arteta? Surely, like, quite a few seasons at Everton, quite a few at Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm happy with that one.
Go on, Arteta, please.
Arteta is sixth, 284.
Realistically, though, like, there's not going to be that many Spaniards. Like, I always think when there's, like, foreign ones, there's not going to be many before, like, 2000, are there? Like, but then the problem is with Spain, the national team was dominated by the same players for so long, and they all played in Spain. So, you probably find them.
Yeah,
quite sure with Spanish, if you know what I mean.
There'll be some of them that like won't have played for Spain, won't they? You know, like, I'm not, it won't be, but like, it was that, like, there was a Brighton lad who played about 40, wasn't there? What's his name? Like, Bruno or something, but he won't be there because he won't play, but he like, was at Brighton for years, but he definitely won't be enough.
Is there I don't know how long he's there, but like, to Bellerin, is he Spanish?
He is Spanish, yeah. Feels like he wouldn't be enough.
No. Was that the 284 or something?
284. So looking for like Torres. I did have Alonso written down again, but only probably played for Liverpool for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. What about Marcus Alonso?
Couldn't tell you how long he was. I would say more than the other Alonso.
Was he at Bolton as well, Marcus Alonso?
No. Yeah. Was it Bolton or Sunderland, something like that? Right, come on. Any other goalkeepers?
All I can remember is like Casillas, Canizares. They're the only ones.
I've got one. David De Gea, defo.
Ah, yeah. Gotta be.
David De Gea is number one. 415 appearances.
Right, so if you've got five there, Max, or four?
Four. You've got De Gea, Fabregas, Silva, Arteta.
Right, should we take a risk on one of the maybes?
Yeah. What do you reckon? Reina or Torres?
I reckon Reina. He's probably going to play Reina.
Pepe Reina is fifth.
Come on.
297. Tosh, you're right. You joined in 06.
Who's the top five are we missing?
You're missing third place.
Third place.
Doing quite well.
Second, I'm just trying to think of the Spanish team, but again, there's a good chance.
Santi Cazorla.
Oh, yeah, could be. He joined 2012, I think, when we did let. Oh, yeah, I think that's a good shout. I'm happy with that. Go with that, Sean.
Right, go on. Cazorla, please, Max.
He's not even in the top 25.
Nice one, Sean.
No.
Are you messing? He was injured last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've messed up, haven't you? I've got one about another similar player, Juan Mata. Potentially, Sean, what do you reckon about that?
Yeah. How long was he at Chelsea, though?
During Chelsea 2011, I think. Would have left about 14, 15 and probably did another 3 or 4 years at United.
So what's that? You're saying 6, 7 seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be there, Annie. Similar. Go on. We've got Juan Mata.
Juan Mata's seventh, 278.
Well done,
he was in the same Valencia side as David Silva. And they both signed around the same time for City and Chelsea.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
So we need third, 8th, 9th, 10th.
Yeah.
So we're obviously missing an obvious one here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we allowed a clue? Like, can we say, did they play for Spain, this third one, or are you not allowed to tell us now?
Not yet, so I'll wait for your lives to start dropping.
Okay.
Once you lose three, you've lost one life. Once you lose three, I can give out clues.
What? Like, let's just think of, like, even like the big teams. They didn't really have, like, I don't think of that many Spaniards that were playing.
United.
Because, like, Ander Herrera. He won't have had that many, really.
No, I'd be surprised. Like, if he'd said to me before, has he got more than Cazorla, I'd have been surprised. But but again, you know, he'd have been there. He joined just after Moyes left. So he can't have been there more than 5, 6 years.
Wow. There's not going to be anyone realistically in those, like, Euros and World Cup winning squads that...
That's my problem, yeah.
Because the likes like Torres, we're unsure of. There's not going to be anyone else there.
No.
I mean, now, what Spaniards playing in the Premier League now?
Good question.
Do you reckon we just go Torres?
Oh, again, no. How long's Rodri been there?
I don't know. Would he have been...
He signed a full career there.
250 games, I reckon.
I mean, it's Premier League appearance, so maybe not.
And he was injured most of last season.
When did he join?
No idea.
I think he would have played like most games up until that injury, wouldn't he? Yeah, probably maybe just on the short side. Keep him on the maybe list.
Yeah. Maybe this is growing here.
Right. I'm trying to think of the last Spanish team. They were all like mostly in like Spain, though, weren't they?
Are there any Spaniards we can think of who like? I'm thinking like mad people like Angel Rangel, who like, like Spanish. Like there's probably quite a few in that Swansea team, maybe who?
Chico Flores.
Yeah, the likes of them, or like, it's like Jose Enrique. Is he Spanish?
Yeah, I think he was.
Like the likes of them, they're probably in there who never got a look in Spain but played loads.
So they're the ones I'm never gonna get.
Yeah, I mean we're gonna have to take a punt if we go with Angel Rangel, I'll be honest.
I like it, to be honest, but that's the problem with him, whereas like, you know, I can sort of remember Mata of like, you know, when Mata joined, he joined not long before they won the Champions League when he left. Angel Rangel, you could say he joined in 1971, and I wouldn't be able to argue that.
I feel like he was there though. How long was Swansea in the Prem?
Yeah, minimum 5-6, I'd say, yeah.
I reckon he was there. Because didn't he come up with them?
I would have said so, yeah.
So, like, if you're saying that 5 years, if he's playing, like, nearly 40 games a season, I know that's still only last less 200, isn't it?
200, yeah. I'm flagging.
Like, we've lost one, like, two more. Who's on the maybe list that you've got, who are you thinking is, like, most likely?
So now maybe lean toward Rodri.
I'm happy for you to go with it. I literally haven't got a clue. I just feel like he's been injured quite a lot as well, though.
Yeah, well, that's me thinking, but I also really can't think of anyone else. Can't be bothered thinking of anyone else, to be honest.
Well, let's go with it.
Rodri. Rodri is 15th.
Oh, better than Cazorla.
177 appearances.
Oh, that's bad. Sorry, Sean.
It's all right. Right. Should we take a punt on someone mad, like an Angel Rangel or like a Jose Enrique or like a little random Spaniard?
If you can get it right, I feel like you're right. There will be a random. I was always trying to say for like that Bruno who played for Brighton. Yeah. I just don't think either of them two are going to be right, Angel Rangel or Enrique, but I don't know. What about like?
I'm gonna give you. I can give you a clue because you got one life left to like the status.
Go on.
So obviously three is quite obvious.
Oh, no.
Eight is current.
Okay.
9, 10, you probably won't think about.
<Here we go.
laughs> surely we can rule out Angel Rangel and Jose Enrique then.
Yeah, based on the fact that we're not going to think of them, which is always good for a quiz, actually, if you're not going to think of the answers.
What I meant to say is, yeah, random Spaniard.
who's the obvious one then that we've missed here?
I just can't think. It's like, I don't feel like United have many Spaniards. Tottenham, I can't think of any. Arsenal, like, yeah, because all. We've done Arteta. Chelsea. It wouldn't be Marcus Alonso, would it? Or Xabi Alonso. Should we just say Alonso and he gives us it either way?
Yeah, that's true. Again, just based on what Max said, I don't think it's either. But
it might be the obvious one.
It's not.
Do you not think?
There's no way. Alonso, just no way he played that many games. I know for a fact he joined in, I think, 2004 when Rafa joined. And he left the summer of 2008 or 2009 when they tried to sign Barry. So if he's played every game, it's like 200 maximum.
Yeah.
I just can't think. Who's the obvious one?
It's not Torres, is it? Like, let's be honest, it's not. And this player's played over 300 games. Well.
That's a good point.
Like if he's in third, it's like 300, isn't it?
So gonna be a Chelsea. Oh, maybe. I think I've got one. Is it Azpilicueta? Though, Sean, do you want to compare? I think Azpilicueta.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely. You're right.
Azpilicueta, 349 appearances. So you've got the top seven. You've got De Gea, which is 415. Fabregas, 350. Azpilicueta, 349. David Silva, 309. Pepe Reina, 297. Arteta 284, Juan Mata 278. The next three, I'll give you the three appearance numbers. 249 is the current player, so it actually might be more since I did this, which was 3 weeks ago. 239, 223.
So the current players, should try and get that one, then just admit defeat with the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I bet you he plays like a Brentford or something like that.
So again, who plays for Brentford that we know of? No one.
No.
So just rule them out. Have Everton got any Spaniards?
They got like anyone? West Ham got a Spaniard.
Maybe, but not what I can think of.
No.
Tottenham.
Right, you might have to ask for some clues here, Max. Even if it's just positions, maybe.
Okay. Do you want positions of all three?
Yeah, go.
Okay. So you've got a winger, then you've got a defensive central midfielder, sometimes centre back, and you've got another, winger or forward.
That hasn't helped at all.
Thanks. The current one's the winger.
Yes.
I reckon it's a Bournemouth. I reckon it might be Bournemouth, you know.
Surely they haven't had anyone playing there that long ago, have they?
Oh, yeah. Maybe not.
I don't know. You might be right. Brighton the same.
With like, I know, obviously, Basque, isn't he? But, like, the Spanish influence, you feel like. Yeah, he might.
Yeah, I can't.
Did you give up?
Yeah.
I'll give you the first team they ever played for. So 8 and 9 both came from Barcelona. 10 came from Tenerife. That's not going to help. But
wonder how old he was.
So the current player came from Barca's academy, and he played a little bit for Barca.
Oh. It wouldn't be a Adama Traore, would it? Is he still playing in the Prem?
Yeah.
Are you Spanish, isn't he?
Max is Spain, he'll tell you, saying, yeah.
I'm sure, because he definitely represents Spain.
He definitely comes on back. Been there. He can't have played that many. Let's go with it. No, we've got none.
He played for Barca for a bit. Right, come on, we're coming down to Traore.
Correct, 8th.
Get in.
That's a joke.
He didn't just play for... He's at Fulham right now.
He was at
Villa first. So he went from Barca to Villa, to Borough, to Wolves, where he made plenty of appearances, back to Barcelona, to Fulham. Yeah, 249 appearances for him.
Right, so it's the two old ones. Is that one who played for Tenerife?
Yeah, I think so. Number 9, still playing in Spain. It's 34 now. Number 10, I think, is still playing. I want to say he might have won the league with somebody.
I don't know
how easy to make these clues, like.
Whatever brings it to an end.
Could have done with Callum's Spanish knowledge here of scouting systems. He might know some. Right, I don't know. I might have to. Should we just throw? We got a life left and then a spare. If we throw the life away, it'll give us really obvious clues we can get.
But man,
you can tell us like a team that they played for, like an obvious one.
No, it's not a good one.
Okay, the last one.
Angel Rangel.
The last one didn't win the league. Angel Rangel is 17th.
Oh. Yeah, it's a good shout, that
jump. He made 169 appearances. Okay, number 9. He was at Barca, went to Chelsea. He made some appearances for them. Didn't quite work out. But he made his most of his appearances on the south coast.
It's not Romeo, is it?
It is Romeo. Oh,
I literally
number nine.
Wouldn't have got that in a million years.
I forget how he played that many games. That's a joke.
He made like 30 something for Chelsea, and then he made a massive chunk of them for Southampton. He was there for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And it was that team that was like, you know, your Van Dijk, your Mane. So they were around for a while, yeah. Ricky Lambert, Lallana.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 10, I was wrong. He didn't win the league. He joined them two years after. But he was up north for a bit, and then he was in the middle of the country.
Did he win the league up north or in the Midlands?
No, he didn't. He didn't win the league. Oh. I thought he might have been, but he joined a few years after.
Thayozi
Perez. Well done, Tosh.
Literally not a chance of getting any of them.
Nah. That was number 10. The ones you were thinking about, Fernando Torres was 11th, 212. Bellerin, you mentioned, he was 13th, 183. Marcus Alonso, 14th, 179. Rodri, 15th, 177. Jose Enrique, 18th. Xabi Alonso.
You did very well there, Sean.
We should
have done top 21st.
20 there.
If you did on top 20, if you did on top 20 there, you'd have looked unbelievable.
Some other players you might not have mentioned, 12 was Nacho Monreal. Yeah. 16 was a fella who played in the Midlands, had a big set of hair on his head. Like, you fly to Barcelona to get his hair cut, apparently. Not in the Midlands, actually.
Ivan Campo.
Oh,
not Midlands, but
19 was Fornals.
Do you know what? I was actually going to say him when he said about West Ham. He was the one I was thinking of. But I didn't think he'd have been anywhere near. I only really had me head. He played like two or three seasons.
20 was, I don't know who this is, Guaita. 22, Aditya Balaga. 23, Adrian. 24, Sanchez. 25, Pedro. Good job, fellas.
Yeah, we did all right.
Got all 10.
Yeah, well, just about.
With the help.
With a little help, yeah. Right, do we want to do Super 6, or do you want to just do...
We can't do Super 6, can we? Because there's no games.
That's a very good point, Matt. What a stupid point. So, we planned that well. Obviously, there's no Super 6 this week. We won't be back with any kind of review next week. Obviously, we don't care about the internationals. Although, if we do tie in a little bit of women's footy, I might get a bit of a conversation about what the US national team, how much people care over there. Because obviously, currently, the love of England and the patriotism of England is a bit of a controversial subject over here. So I'm intrigued to see what it's like over there. But we'll touch on that next week instead. And we'll end now with some closing questions. Max, do you have any?
I was thinking, tie into the international break. I want to know what your favourite ever international game was. Could be England, could be anyone else. We have to pick one game. I'd probably say for you, Tosh, one that you've actually seen.
Not that
you've looked back on. When Hungary played the Soviet Union in 1962.
Do you know, if I could throw mine...
They'd lost all the players by 62, Max. 56 was the uprising, so no. When they beat England in 53 at Wembley, that's the one I was talking about. Hungary team had gone then. Puskas played for Spain in the 62 World Cup. There's a fact point. Oh, maybe 50
in the list, Max.
What?
Where was he in the list?
Nowhere.
Go on. I'll throw mine in. But I'm gonna be controversial and say my opinions have changed since. So I think the game that I was probably the happiest about was England losing to Croatia. That Wally with a Broly game. I remember I'd become a bit disillusioned with England. And it genuinely wasn't like a...
All right, Gary Neville.
It wasn't like a Scouts for English thing. It wasn't that. I'm not that really that bothered. Like, I don't really care about being from Liverpool. But like, it was more just, I think, the way England got knocked out in 2004 and then the way they got knocked out in 2006. I was just a bit like, I don't know, I got a bit fed up with it. And then I think we've all discussed it at length, like the Blues amongst us, about how it was very hard to support England at a time when Liverpool players featured so heavily. And obviously moving down after that into 2010, I remember sitting in Griffin's living room watching us get beat by USA of all. No, we drew actually 1-1, wasn't it? In the World Cup 2010.
Yeah.
And when Rob Green had that howler, and I remember being buzzing, like absolutely made up. Because Gerrard was captain that tournament, wasn't he?
He scored, put them 1-0 up.
Yeah. But yeah, when that Wally with the Broly game, I remember just being absolutely made up when he got beat. I was so fed up with England. And I say that now as someone that really backs England, like I do. I really, ever since the World Cup, what year was it? 2018, when we all fell back in love with them. So I do get behind England now, men and women. I don't watch the games, the friendlies, not going to watch this tournament. So I'm back to being an England fan. But back then, the happiest I've probably ever been was when England got beat by Croatia. So take from that.
That tournament was probably one of my favourite tournaments I've ever watched, and I think it was because England went in it.
Yeah.
Not out of spite for England, but it was almost just like being able to watch all those football games without like my team in it and enjoy it. Yeah, like the Spanish team then was just amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That kit where it was the red and it was like dark blue shorts and socks, and Fernando Torres, David Villa. I think that was their first one, wasn't it? Oh wait, the first one they won before.
They won in 64 or something, but apart from that, yeah.
But in that run.
Yeah, no. I sort of want to go as I like to do, a bit obscure, but I can't go anything apart from the last World Cup final. In fact, the whole tournament of watching Argentina, like, I actually haven't really felt anything like that. Maybe not even supporting Everton. I think, like, just that desperation for Messi to win. And, like, I remember when he scores that goal against Mexico, where, like, he thought, because they could have been, you know, sort of forget them. They does get forgotten, sorry, but they actually could have gone out if he hadn't beaten Mexico. And then, but yeah, the final is just, I think, like, I think that's the greatest game of football I've ever seen. And, like, just in terms of being in the moment, and, like, I was supporting that, desperate for Argentina to win. Now, I love Argentina anyway, but there was the extra thing of Messi, but yeah. I was trying to think of something else. I remember the 2012 Euros final, when Spain beat Italy 4-0 and being like 2 or 3 love hats thing and just thinking this is like unbelievable. But yeah, I don't like going obvious. I remember the very first thing we ever did in this podcast, it was like, pick your favourite player. I just said I couldn't pick anyone apart from Messi. But unfortunately, yeah. But that was like, it's not just that's the greatest game of football I've ever seen. So it's just, yeah, unbelievable. Even what Mbappe does, like that 5 minutes when Mbappe turns it around, just like, my God, that was just electric, wasn't it? So yeah. Can't go any other way really.
And that save at the end, isn't it? That,
yeah, oh man, it's unbelievable.
It's just like, what a moment that is.
Again, you see where, like, you see there's an angle behind the goal, you think, how does he save that? It's just like, yeah. And then, like, they nearly go down the other end and score Argentina again. It's like, just like the whole of the game. Well, no, 70 minutes, Argentina are unbelievable. And again, last time I was on, we talked about great goals. Argentina's second goal in that goal, that counter is an unbelievable goal, like counter-attacking goal, Di Maria. So, yeah, that got to go that one.
It's also the story, isn't it? Like, it's potentially Messi's first World Cup and only other chance he's probably going to get, because probably not going to be there in 2026. Or he might.
Yeah, that's a real amount.
Just the whole story around it. Yeah, he probably will. If he stays at Miami as well.
Yeah.
I would say, for me, if it was a non-England one, I'd go back to, like, 2006 and the semi-final with Argentina and Italy. Just an epic game. And yeah. Fabio Grosso with the goal at the end.
Definitely.
And obviously Italy go on to win. Unbelievable game of football.
Yeah.
But England, for me, I get quite nostalgic around like 2001 and 2002, because I think that's when I first like start remembering football, was like 1999, 2000, that like 3-4 years. And being in school before school started for England and Argentina, and Beckham scores the penalty. Michael Owen gets fouled and dives. What?
That wouldn't have, you would have been in school for that one.
The Brazil game was before school.
And Nigeria. But that was.
I swear it's in school.
That was either, I can tell you for a fact, I maybe checked it up, I bet that was June the 7th, 2002, and that was either a Saturday or a half term.
Yeah, we were definitely off school, I remember that, because I remember watching my living room.
Yeah,
me too. I want to put this bit out there.
Can we just throw it out there? How?
That's the Mandela effect.
He knows that date. That is insane.
It's a bit of a cheat, though, because it's my dad's birthday, so...
Okay.
Well, I actually remember that same World Cup. I always had it in my head that we played Sweden on my birthday on the 11th. We didn't. That was just something I'd remember 3 years there. Like, oh, we played them in that World Cup. We didn't. Just made it up. So I think a lot of football back then, when you think about the nostalgia, a lot of it's made up. Like the way Max remembers that before school. It's like that Mandela effect, isn't it? Where
no, because there was two games. They played Nigeria and Brazil, and they were both before school. Like when they went out to Brazil, that was before. You could have, in our school, you could either gone in and watched it, or you could have stayed at home and watched it.
Yeah, you definitely went in and watched it. I mean, I was in school for the Argentina game, but I was just by myself.
You're in detention.
No, but anyway, that World Cup, just something about it, and it was just really like the whole story build up to it was whether Beckham was going to be fit or not, and then he scores the penalty and does that thing when he grabs the shirt. It was just like,
I also just think those really cool. When you think of the players who played in that World Cup, not the players that you'd have now, like obviously it's littered with world class players, but you just look back and like Ronaldo, Rivaldo, even like that final when you got like that Germany team and like Ballack, like just
yeah,
like Oliver Kahn in goal. It's just
Brazil's front three is Ronaldo, Rivaldo, Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And Germany, if Miroslav Klose, would Oliver Neuville still been playing then?
That Germany team,
France, obviously Zidane, Henry.
A bit of dogs, them Germany team, though. They don't particularly look back fondly at that German team. But again, if the other one plays a bold claim for you, the Argentina team is actually better than that Brazil team. You look back at that Argentina team, like Crespo and people like that, they were like one of the, I think they were maybe favourites going into that World Cup, Argentina. And they went out in the group. They went out in the group, didn't win. Oh no, they maybe beat Nigeria. But they obviously lost to England.
I think I only know, like, because like wasn't Pochettino, he gave away the pen, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think I can tell you that many players in that Argentina team.
Well, then it'd been like Crespo,
Batistuta, Ortega, people like that.
Like Walter Samuel, plays like that.
Yeah, Veron. Yeah. But people like that, unbelievable team. I think, I don't know whether they won, oh no, they didn't, so I was going to say, I don't think they won, maybe they didn't win the Copa, I think Colombia might have won the Copa America before. Colombia won one in 2001, but I don't know, but I was going to say they went into it, like, I'm sure they may have been favourites, but might be completely wrong. I might have Mandela a bit like Max.
Yeah. Also, sorry, before we go, because I know, obviously, you're on a time limit, Max, but I'm going to throw it out there and say, I've changed my mind. My favourite game ever, and I am going to go back to women's football, is going to Wembley and watching England win the Euros. That was unbelievable.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You were there for that, the final? Wow.
It was so good. Like, Chloe Kelly's win, it was in our end. And, oh, yeah, the atmosphere was unbelievable. It was so good. So, yeah, that'd be my favourite.
That's a good one, yeah. Everton are playing at the Hill Dickinson for the first time, the women aren't this weekend. Yeah.
Going?
Yeah, I'm hoping you can get tickets later on. I'm going to see what I'm up to, see how busy I am and with work and that. But yeah, potentially you.
I might do. I was saying to Hannah, it might be a good way there coming as well.
That's it. I was saying the same, yeah.
But yeah. Right, I did have a question, but I know where obviously Max is on a time limit, so we can park mine and come back to it.
Well, I'm going to here for that question. I might have liked it.
You have to come on, Tosh.
Come back on every week, Tosh. But yeah, come on, we'll leave it there. So yeah, thanks, Tosh, for joining us again. Nice one, Max.
Thank you.
Yeah, as always, keep an eye on our clips online, please. We're trying our best to get out there. Follow all the socials, follow on YouTube, and listen, share the podcast, do whatever you can, just to help us out. But yeah, thanks for listening, and until next time, it's been a blast.
No. No. It's not happening.
Yeah, absolutely enough.
I like it.